Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13 this morning, and we're going to read verses 15 to 21, and let's pray before we do that. Father, as we come into your word, I just ask that you would, by your Spirit, reveal yourself to each and every mind and every heart. The burdens that are being carried here this morning, some which would not even be confessed to others around us, but certainly we can confess them to you. May this time gathering around your table be a very precious and meaningful time because of your Spirit. May we go beyond the elements here, beyond the ritual, beyond the familiarity of it all, and may by your Spirit, may you penetrate through and bring your reality and your person to us. Through Jesus Christ and by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 13, 15 to 21. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good thing for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. When I was at Bible school, long, long time ago, we adopted the class I was in, adopted part of 2 Corinthians 5:9 as our class motto, and of course the verse that would be printed on our graduation photo. And 2 Corinthians 5:9 in the New International Version says at the beginning of the verse, we make it our goal to please God. We make it our goal to please God. And from that year in Bible college, I adopted this as my life verse, my theme verse for life. I make it my goal to please God. In Paul's prayer in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says he's praying for the Colossians, and then he gives his reason for praying for the Colossians. And this is what he writes. We pray this, what he said he's praying for them. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. And then Paul goes on to tell them what things please God. So you can look it up in Colossians 1 and see some of the things that please God. We're going to look at some of the things that please God in these verses this morning. I was talking to a brother earlier this week about what makes it that we want to please God? And we came up with the conclusion that really it's a greater understanding of the character of God, of the beauty of God, of the majesty of God, of the glory of God, and what he's done for us, the grace of God, the mercy of God to us, that compels us to please him and to try to please him in every way. And certainly that's how Paul lived, and if you read Jesus in the Gospel of John, he says a number of times that he does all the things he does to please the Father. Well, in Hebrews 13, 15, it says here, gives us one thing that is pleasing to God. Verse 16, it says God is pleased with these particular sacrifices. And then later on, in verse 21, it says there, that Paul, or whoever wrote Hebrews, is praying that God may work in us what is pleasing to him. We're going to look at three things or three ways that we can please God from these verses. These are not the only three things that please God, but these are three things that do please God. When we do them, God is well pleased. First one is taken from verses 15 and 16. It says, we can please God with sacrifices. We can please God with sacrifices. And two different kind of sacrifices are mentioned in verses 15 and 16. Now, the first sacrifice is called the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Now, that's a positive confession of His name. That's a worshipful confession of His name that pleases God. The easiest way for us to please God with the sacrifices of praise is by gathering on Sunday mornings and consciously and joyfully and openly praising Him and worshiping Him in song and in prayer, in testimony. When we have times of testimony, we can confess His name, and that's called the sacrifice of praise. Where in the Old Testament they gave animal sacrifices, you can offer sacrifices to God when you lift up His name in worship together. Another way to confess Him with the fruit of our lips may be a little more difficult, maybe by sharing His name with our family, with our relatives, with our co-workers, or sometimes even in antagonistic kind of situations. We're going to spend next week looking at groups of people who confess with joy the name of Jesus Christ and suffer very much for it and are even killed for that testimony. But they know this God, they know Him personally, He has transformed and changed their lives, and they want to confess Him and will not renounce their faith for anything. And so sometimes bringing the fruit of our lips and confessing His name is a little more difficult. And we chicken out pretty easy in our society here today. Remember, in Philippians it says, one day every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And we have that opportunity to confess and glorify His name today in every situation. And I would encourage you to determine to please God by lifting up His name in every situation that you're in. And if somebody is blaspheming the name of God, the name of Jesus Christ, using it as a swear or a fill-in, maybe you can stand up and say, that grieves my heart, that is my Lord, and I want to lift up His name in praise. I kind of did that once at the General Motors. They were putting up these Sunshine Girl pictures, you know, from the Toronto Sun. I said, I want equal time. They said, okay. So I started putting up Bible verses, big, you know, expanded Bible verses, big letters, started putting them all up. Every day they'd put one picture up, I'd put another verse up. But so they said, this can't go on. I said, you're right, this can't go on. So if you take down all your pictures, I'll take down all my Bible verses. So that's what we did. You got to give a testimony to Christ. Stand up. And one day when you stand before God, He will commend you for your great faithful testimony to His name. A second sacrifice here in the verses 15 and 16 is called the sacrifice of good works and sharing with others. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Christians should be involved in good works. Christians should be known as generous, giving people. We have ministries like Samaritan's Purse, which give great credibility to the Christian gospel. We have people like the Bacatlas, who have given their lives to serving the Indian people, the Kishores in India, and so many of the other missions that we support at Rosedale. All of these are sacrificing with good works, lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. I just really thank God that we can support missions, and we always give 10% of everything that comes in every month to missions, and usually by the end of the year we've given 12 or 13% of our budget away. And we have a very small budget, but we're determined to do that. And God has blessed us in amazing ways through that. And I commend you this morning for giving to the Bacatlas for your Thanksgiving offering. So let's lift up the name of Jesus Christ with our mouth, in whatever circumstances we're in, with our lives, by our goodness, our generous giving and service to others. We can please God with sacrifices. You can please God with sacrifices, but I want you to pay attention to the first two words of verse 15. It says, it is through Jesus that we offer sacrifices of praise and sacrifices of good works and sharing God with others. It's not sacrifice alone that pleases God, but sacrifice that is the result of a faith in Christ. It's not just a matter of being a charitable person. It's because you're a Christian and you're doing it in an expression of your faith and love for God. Every time you lift up the name of God in praise or testimony, and every time you do good to others in the name of Jesus Christ, you are pleasing God. Number two, we can please God by fulfilling our roles in the church. Verse 17, fulfilling our roles in the church. And two roles are mentioned here, the role of the congregation and the role of the leaders of the church. First, the role of the church member. Church members are to obey their leaders and submit to their authority. This is pleasing to God because it's an expression of the authority that is in the Trinity, in the submission in the church. Submission in a marriage is an expression of the unity and the submission that's found in the Trinity and expresses the relationship of Christ to the Father, of the Holy Spirit to Christ, of Christ to the Father and of the Holy Spirit to Christ and the Father. Whenever you obey a leader and submit to their authority, you are honoring God and pleasing God. Don't obey your leaders if they're asking you to do something which is contrary to Scripture. Do obey your leaders if they're asking you to do something contrary to your preferences, your feelings, lifestyle, and things that are just incidental but do not contradict Scripture. And God will bless you and God will bless the fellowship for it. The second role mentioned in this verse is the role of the leader. The leader is to keep watch over God's people. The Greek word there is actually to keep awake. And it actually is intense. It's an intense word. It says the absence of sleep because of an alert mind. So the leader is to be very alert in his supervision or their supervision over the fellowship. Leadership is a heavy responsibility placed on the leader, and the leader must give an account to God for his leadership. Responsible, watchful leadership pleases God. So you can please God as a follower by obeying and submitting to your leaders, or you can please God by leading watchfully. And sometimes you'll be in leadership roles, and sometimes you'll be in fellowship roles. But when you fulfill the role that God puts you in any particular situation, you are pleasing to God. The desire to please God by obeying leaders brings joy to the leaders and joy to the people of God as well. To grumble and act in disobedience and rebellion is to burden leaders, and it is profitless for everyone. So let's learn to please God and rejoice in God together. And again, I often commend this fellowship for its unity, for its oneness, for the very few grumblers and complainers that are here. In fact, I don't have anybody in mind right now. If you're thinking about that, there's irritations here and there, but generally speaking, we are pleasing God by fulfilling our roles at Rosedale Baptist Church. Then the third one, we can please God through prayer, verses 18 to 21. These final verses mention the church praying for their leaders and the leaders praying for the church. And that prayer is vital. I was again speaking with somebody this week and telling them how absolutely essential prayer is, and coming to God and expressing our dependence on Him so that He will work in our midst. And that's what God wants us to do, and prayer is a means of doing that. Leaders ask for prayer that they may properly lead with a clear conscience and with integrity. He says here, verse 18, we are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. These leaders were leading with a clear conscience, with an integrity that was there, and they wanted to keep that way, and they asked that the congregation would pray for them. I've given you 8 areas where you can pray for leaders in your bulletin, and I want to run over those quickly. A daily spiritual renewal through fellowship with God. If your leaders lose their daily refreshment and renewal with God because of their choice or other things, that whole fellowship will begin drop down in its connection with God. The leadership needs to be spiritually renewed through fellowship on a regular basis, and pray that if a leader begins to stray, that God will just, you know, bring His divine 2x4 in and give him a little tap across the side of the head and redirect that person so that they will call upon the name of the Lord and have a renewed and vital spiritual life. For loving patience and gentleness, very, very important in the area of leadership, loving patience and gentleness. Holiness is another one. And I want to read a quote to you from Murray McShane, Robert Murray McShane, a very powerful spiritual preacher. And one of the things he said was, a holy minister is a mighty weapon in the hands of God. And this is a quote that he wrote. A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hands of God. I am persuaded that I shall obtain the highest amount of present happiness. I shall do most for God's glory and the good of man, and I shall have the fullest reward in eternity by maintaining a conscience always washed in Christ's blood, by being filled with the Holy Spirit at all times, and by attaining the most entire likeness to Christ in mind, will, and heart, and that is possible for a redeemed sinner to attain in this world. Quite an agenda there, and he sought to maintain that on a daily basis, and pray that your leaders will have that same passion and zeal for holiness as well. Insight into the Word of God, a discernment of new spiritual movements, a discernment of others as your leaders speak with them and seek to counsel them, a discernment of the world that is around us. Sermon preparation and preparation for prayer meetings. Again, we need help in that area, as you can probably tell. Vision of God's plan to make disciples. Very important calling of the church is to make disciples, and that we would pursue God's vision and plan for that. Just the whole area of leadership itself and accountability and organizing and so on. And then physical and mental health. So those are 8 areas where you can pray for your minister. Listen to what this Spurgeon would had to say. The sinew, the muscle, of the minister's strength under God is the supplication of His church. We can do anything and everything if we have a praying people around us. But when our dear friends and fellow helpers cease to pray, the Holy Spirit hastens to depart, and Ichabod is written on the place of assembly. Ichabod is from, I think it's the book of Ezekiel. It means no glory. The glory of God has departed from Israel. Ichabod. What can we do without your prayers? They link us with the omnipotence of God. Like a lightning rod, they pierce the clouds and bring down the mighty and mysterious power from on high. The Lord, give me a dozen importunate pleaders and lovers of souls, and by His grace we will shake all London from end to end. And I concur with what Spurgeon says to his congregation here. Then the leaders are to pray for the church. We pray that the God of peace will be your peace because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you. We pray that the great shepherd will guide your steps. We pray that God will equip you with every good thing to do His will, and that you will diligently use what God gives for His glory. We pray, as Paul did, that you will be fully pleasing to God through Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 1. We pray that God will be glorified through His church. And I pray for each one of you on a weekly basis. I long and pray that we will be a church that is pleasing to God in worship, in character, in good works, and in prayer. I long to see the power of God work through us in answer to prayer and in response to teaching from God's Word. I long to see lives transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. I don't long for the recognition of the world saying that church is really growing, the church is really expanding, and look at the numbers there. I don't long for that. I long for what God desires to see in His church. Let us make it our goal to please God through sacrifice, through fulfilling our roles, and through prayer to the glory of God. And let's expand that list as we read the New Testament and see all those things that are pleasing to God. Make it your goal to please God. If you want to adopt that as your life verse, yeah, I don't have a copyright on it. You can decide that is going to be what the motto that I live by. I make it my goal to please God.